What does the Bible have to say to us about the last things? How do we understand the book of Revelation? Do the scriptures have anything to say to us about the times in which we live? Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California, and I invite you to a free conference on understanding the end times, a biblical perspective on the last things. Saturday, November 7th, 2015 at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Speakers include professors and authors Dr. Dennis Johnson and Dr. Kim Riddlebarger. That's Saturday, November 7th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, visit our website, christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Years ago, there was a great movie that evangelical leaders said was the greatest evangelistic tool of our time, and that was called The Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, and there, the life of Jesus was portrayed in movie form where we could see Jesus. Is it okay to make images of God? Is it okay to have images of the Lord Jesus Christ? What has been the Protestant position, the Christian Protestant position in history about images? We're going to tackle a subject today that I suspect many of you have never considered, or if you have, you've just sort of thought, well, that's a strange consideration. But we're going to look at what the scripture says in light of the second commandment about images of God. This is a very important subject, maybe more important than you've ever considered. Today on Abounding Grace, we're looking at that. We are so thankful you've taken time out of your day to tune into the program. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Well, today we have Pastor Mike Brown again from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee to answer whether it's okay to have a manger scene. We're going to look at all of these things today on Abounding Grace. So Mike, this has been a controversial issue in our day. It always was controversial. We look at the days of the Reformation. One of the great convictions that came out of the Reformation was to tear down what had essentially happened in Roman Catholicism, where there was idolatry in worshiping and bowing to images. And the Reformation happened, which if you are a Protestant Christian today, you have a history here. And they spoke adamantly that making of images to worship them or to use them in teaching ways is a breaking of the intention of the second commandment. And the Heidelberg Catechism says that, doesn't it? I think our people need to know that this was the standard position and why today, if they're breaking that, what their justification is for doing that, right?
That's right. This may be new to some who are listening to this today. Maybe you've assumed it was perfectly fine to have pictures of Jesus in Sunday school material, or maybe a crucifix, you know, a cross with an image of Jesus dying on the cross, or a manger scene at Christmas time, you know, with little baby Jesus. But we have to think about this for a second in light of the second commandment. And as we've been going through the Heidelberg Catechism, this great summary of the Christian faith, this teaching tool for helping us understand what we believe and why we believe it, we're in that third part of the catechism known as the gratitude section. First part is about guilt, our sin, how the law of God shows us that we are sinners. The second part is about grace, how God has saved us by his grace alone, in Christ alone, received through faith alone. And the third part is how we are to live in gratitude. And as it describes how we are to live, the Heidelberg goes through the Ten Commandments, which are given to us not as a covenant of works that we have to fulfill in order to be right with God, but rather as a guide for our life, as a means for us to understand the way in which we should live that would bring God glory. And we come to the second commandment, which last week when we talked about how we are to worship, that's part of the second commandment. But another part is, what about images? Because question 96 says, what does God require in the second commandment? Answer, that we in no way make any image of God nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded us in his word. And so last week we talked about that, that scripture alone regulates our worship. And that question 97 then says, may we not make any image at all? Answer, God may not and cannot be imaged in any way. As for creatures, though they may indeed be imaged, yet God forbids the making or keeping of any likeness of them, either to worship them or to serve God by them. Now, this, of course, brings up a big question, because we know that Jesus is God. God may not and cannot be imaged in any way. And yet, in his humanity, he's also a creature. Though they may indeed be imaged, God does not permit the making of images of them, either to worship them or to serve God by them. And so that's what we have to get our minds around this morning as we think about the second commandment.
Right. I said at the beginning of the program, I'm sure some people are listening to this, you know, sort of with their eyebrows up. What in the world are you guys talking about? Maybe they've never considered this. The answer is really a simple one. The answer is, God left us no picture of Jesus. We don't have a picture to go bow down to and to worship. In fact, he explicitly forbids this in the second commandment. And I always like to use the illustration, Mike, that if I was out on a desert island and there were some people who said, hey, what does your wife look like? What does she look like? And I pull out of my wallet, I have a magazine, and I pull out of Vogue magazine some picture of a woman and say, oh, here she is. What am I doing to my wife? I'm offending her because that's not her.
Right.
If God wanted to give an inspired image, he would have, but he didn't. He wants us to live by faith and not by sight. The beauty of what is held out for us in glory is that we will get to see with our eyes the resurrected Christ. We're going to look at this here in a minute, I'm sure. But for right now, the Christian life is a wilderness way of faith. And we believe these things by faith. But I think explicitly, what we want to say here is that when people are making images for the purpose of worship, notice that the Heidelberg directly connects that with idolatry. That we need to first say up front, that this is an act of idolatry to do this. The Lord always forbids this and always has forbidden this in the scriptures. Look at the golden calf event.
Right. Yeah, the golden calf event, we have to remember, they were not trying to worship a different God. When God commands the second commandment, he's not merely saying, don't bow down to an image of Buddha or an image of some other God. He's saying, don't try to make an image of me and worship me by it. That's precisely what they were doing at the foot of Mount Sinai when Moses returns. They're dancing around the golden calf. Remember what Aaron said, behold, your God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so they're using an image to worship God, which was prohibited, because God knows that we, being sinners, in the idolatry of our hearts, will always take that image and exalt it in some way.
Right.
And what we have to understand is that, yes, okay, God becomes man. The Son of God assumes our human nature. And yes, people saw him. People touched him. People ate with him. They heard him speak. They spoke with him. That was God's greatest revelation. It was really the climax of all of his special revelation, is in his Son, the Lord Jesus, who is in full human nature. However, once Christ ascends into heaven, we don't have that special revelation anymore. We are awaiting what we call in theology the beatific vision, that glorious vision of seeing the God-man. It is our blessed hope, as Paul says in Titus 2:13, the coming and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. From now until then, or we should say from the ascension until then, when Christ returns, what is sufficient for us in terms of seeing Jesus? What is sufficient is word and sacraments. We can say in one sense that God has provided a picture of Jesus for us in the church, one that he has authorized, one that he has not prohibited. It is in the Lord's Supper and baptism. Those are things that we can tangibly see. In Lord's Supper, we smell, we eat. The bread and the wine and the water, those are the images that God has provided and authorized. And anytime that we try to make a picture of Jesus, we are saying that word and sacrament is insufficient. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking right now. They're thinking, but we're not worshiping this picture. I have a picture of Jesus in my house, and it's a wonderful picture of him holding a lamb. And okay, I understand. I understand that it can be sentimental. I understand that it can cause your thoughts to go to Jesus. But now consider this for a moment. Just consider this for a moment. God does not want himself to be imaged. And who is Jesus? Jesus is God. So how can you make a picture of the one you worship? A picture that God has not authorized. You say, well, I'm not worshiping him. No, you're not worshiping the picture, I understand, but you're worshiping God and you're making an image of God, the God whom you worship. And you can't do that. Word and sacrament are sufficient. Like you said, Chris, we live by faith right now in this life. And we're awaiting like a groom awaiting to see his bride so gloriously arrayed as she comes down the aisle. We are awaiting to see the Lord Jesus, even though we are the bride, the church, waiting to see our husband, the Lord Jesus. We're waiting for that time when we will behold him in all of his glory.
Right. I still can't get away from the fact that when somebody says, I may not be worshiping the image, but it's not him. I can't stop emphasizing that point.
Right.
It's not him. And I remember I had a friend one time who went into, who is now his wife, they were first dating and went into her house, and there was the Roman Catholic picture of Jesus. And he said to her, he said, wow, I didn't know you're so close with Wild Bill Hickok. and you know, she got really offended. It wasn't the wisest thing to say, but the point is that what had been constructed there was a man who had long hair and a beard. And if you look at all of the representations, Mike, of Jesus throughout history, how they all have changed. You've got Dutch Jesus.
Yeah, you got black Jesus.
You've got all these different images that actually reflect the spirit of the times.
Right.
You have a very manly Jesus in the Billy Sundays days, you know, with gloves on. I've seen that picture. And then you have Jesus is represented as a very feminized Jesus, depending on the time. You have a liberation Jesus. These are all of men's imaginations. And that's why the Lord doesn't want us to do that.
Right. And they communicate false theology oftentimes. Right. Think about all the images that developed in the Middle Ages where Jesus always had a halo everywhere he walked. And then you think about how some of that has come out even in some of our Christmas songs, for example, where we sing in Silent Night that line. Well, I won't sing that line in Silent Night. Radiant beams from thy holy face. When Jesus was a baby, he didn't have radiant beams coming out of his face. But see, we've had those ideas. Why? Because of pictures of Jesus. And then what that does is it communicates to us something other than the Christ of the Bible.
Right.
Because when he assumed human nature and he came into this world, he was a real human. And real humans don't walk around with radiant beams coming from their holy face.
Right. And I think, what is the one description that we have of Jesus that's given to us in Isaiah? He has no form or comeliness that we should desire him.
Right.
In other words, if we were ever going to construct an image of Jesus, he would be a lowly man. He would be somebody who was not attractive according to the world. He would be somebody who was humble, somebody who you would never pick to be the Savior. Our images and representations of Jesus show a man usually with chiseled abs on the cross, show a man in glory. And the point is that this is exactly why the Lord forbids this. We've said it two or three times now, but think of this verse in light of this connection. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope.
Right.
For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I love that with the image idea and the image commandment here, because it's saying that the glory, 1 John says, of being able to gaze upon the Son face to face is the reward. That we're living in hope for that right now.
Right.
But when we are putting images in front of people right now, we're actually pushing something in the present that is only held out for us in the future, and it's corrupting of our worship to live by faith and not by sight.
Right, and I want to get back again to the fact that the Word of God is sufficient and the sacraments are sufficient. If you come in each week and you hear the Word preached and you come to the table each week, you have enough of Jesus for this life. That is sufficient. And that's where the Heidelberg Catechism gets at in question 98, the last question on the second commandment. It says, But may not pictures be tolerated in churches as books for the people or teaching tools? In other words, the Heidelberg is anticipating somebody objecting and saying, okay, I'm not worshiping the picture, I'm not worshiping the little statue of Jesus, but can't we use that to help us with our devotions? Can't we use that for Sunday school material? Listen to the wisdom of the reformers as they answered. No, but we should not be wiser than God,
right,
who will not have his people taught by dumb idols, but by the lively preaching of his word. And think about it. That's what the Protestant Reformation recovered, isn't it? It recovered the preaching of God's word. It recovered the reading of God's word, where there was so much ignorance in the Middle Ages regarding the word of God and what proper doctrine is and how God has revealed and what he has said. The Reformation recovered these things. And it's clear from God's word that we do not have a picture of Jesus. If the Lord could have had in his providence, he could have had the technology at the time developed so that we would have pictures or video of Jesus, but he did not. He has left us with something authorized, the preaching of his word, and the sacraments. And this, I think, is exactly what Paul is getting at in Galatians 3 when he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Right. Now, how was Jesus Christ publicly portrayed as crucified? Only in the preaching of Christ and in the administration of the sacraments, because the water of baptism represents the washing away of our sins by his blood, and the bread and the wine, his body and his blood. And so we have enough of what we need for Jesus in this age until we see him.
Well, and I think, you know, in light of what you just said, Mike, you know, the first, and this shows how it's so tied up with worship. You see why they really address this issue with the second commandment and putting it in the context of worship. There were a lot of things in the first century that they had. They had dramas, they had plays. You realize that none of those the Lord chose to bless the message of the gospel going out to the nations. He didn't say, by the foolishness of plays, I'm going to go out and save, or by the foolishness of making images, or by the foolishness of dramas. It was by the foolishness of the message preached. A man standing up, proclaiming in all weakness, understanding that all power goes to God, and the Holy Spirit, by that message, in the hearing, this is why Jesus was constantly emphasized hearing, by the message preached, creating faith in the hearts of people. And it's really important that the one figure we have in Scripture, if you're still struggling with this, the one figure we have in Scripture after the resurrection who was asking for images was Thomas.
Mm.
And Thomas comes and says, I won't believe unless I see.
Right.
So Jesus comes and accommodates that. He's still walking on the earth. He says, okay, Thomas, put your hands here and feel. Thomas is rebuked. But I want you guys to listen to this, of what Jesus said to Thomas right after that. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here. Put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, he realized who it was, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. He's looking to the future. He's saying the norm will be, this is how God has ordained it, the blessing will be those who don't see me and yet believe. Now someone holds up an image. What are they saying to Jesus? No. I want to see you. And I want to see you on my terms. That's why it's a breaking of the second commandment.
That's right. And God does not want himself being imaged. He's made that so clear in the second commandment. It's not only making idols to worship them, whether you're making an idol of, making a graven image of some creature or some false god and bowing down and worshiping it. Nor does he want an image of himself. God is invisible. He does not have a body like men. And how does he feel about those things that are made? Well, Psalm 135 tells us, you know, that they have, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. And those who make them become like them. And so we have... I know this can touch on personal feelings, but when you pull out the nativity scene, because I understand you want to honor Christ at Christmas time. You want to honor him. Well, if you pull out the nativity scene at Christmas, then by the same principle, you could pull out a crucifix on Good Friday. But aren't those just dumb idols? They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot speak, precisely what Psalm 135 says. And as you've pointed out, Chris, faith, it comes by hearing, not by seeing. Romans 10 is so clear on that. How are they going to believe unless they hear? There has to be preaching. God has designed the Christian faith in such a way that we hear and believe. And then he accommodates our weakness, doesn't he, by giving us the sacraments. He knows that we are still so weak. He's given us 66 books that proclaim Christ. We're still so weak. Okay, he gives us something plain and simple in the bread and the wine. We know that bread and wine nourishes the body and Christ nourishes the soul. And so he causes us to commune with Christ in heaven by giving us this visible image. And the same with baptism. We see the someone pass through the waters in baptism and we realize that just as surely as that has happened, Christ has washed away my sins with his blood. Those are the authorized pictures. If we make pictures beyond that, we're saying that it's insufficient, word and sacrament.
You know, just to prove the point, you know, it was said when The Passion of Christ came out, this is the greatest evangelistic tool ever. It was said that. Now, if that's the case, where did it go? There's no power in it, or else wouldn't we be watching that movie all the time?
Right.
Wouldn't we be gazing our eyes on that all the time? If there was true life transforming power, that movie went in and it went out just like any other
just like
movie.
Everything else.
But the preaching of the gospel has gone on for how long?
Right. For 2000 years. You know? How come we didn't see the apostles making movies?
Exactly.
They preached and they administered the sacrament.
And so when you're going to have this, you're going to be tested with this stuff. You're going to have some new movie come out. You're going to have something else that people are, because we're on this roller coaster, always looking for new spirituality, real power in the Christian life. So some new movie is going to come out soon that depicts Christ, depicts whatever, and everyone's going to offer it. We even had this, a series of the Bible movies on TV, right, mm-hmm, Mike? I can't remember right. What they were. But anyways, everyone was saying how great they were for evangelism purposes. They haven't stood.
Right.
They just haven't stood because God has not chosen to bless that.
Right.
What God has chosen to bless will be those things that promote faith. And he's told us what that is.
Right.
It's preaching and sacraments.
Yeah, he's told us. That's the key. You know, and we could say the same not only for evangelism, but also for teaching, for instruction. If you go into a church and it's filled with pictures of Jesus, why? We say, well, it's helping. It's helping the person understand. Well, what's wrong with the instruction verbally? What's wrong with the preaching of the word? That is what God has chosen to bless. That's what he's promised to bless. You know, we try to be wiser than God, as the Heidelberg Catechism points out, and it offends God. It offends God. If there's a big picture of Jesus in your church, that is offensive to God. I know that those might seem like strong words, but this is a time for us to really go back and think about what has God said, how are we going to honor him in worship, and how we honor him is by coming to him on his terms and by worshiping him through his means. That is what he has promised to bless. That's what he has told us pleases him. Acts 2:42, when the first church in the new covenant was established, they continued steadfastly in apostolic doctrine, that's the preaching and teaching, in the fellowship, in the breaking of the bread, that is the sacraments, and the prayers. Pictures are not part of that.
You know, I almost feel like, Mike, we're back in the days of Josiah when Hilkiah, the priest, has found this old book in the temple, and they hadn't read it for years. And Josiah pulls it out and starts reading the law, and he weeps, and he calls for a public fast because the word of God had been so forgotten and cast down. They had totally abandoned it and didn't even realize it. I mean, could that happen in our day? That's why it's there in the scripture. And so we're not offering to you some new radical idea. We're offering to you what has always been received in God's word. And when the whole Protestant Reformation happened, we have to all be challenged how far we have digressed and gone away from God's word. That's what Reformation is. It's returning back to the word of God. And we feel that one of the greatest ways, this was Calvin's great point, right, Mike, in Geneva, the first thing to recover true Reformation they did was to recover worship.
That's right.
And this is where the essence of it was tearing down idols.
That's right. And they restored the preaching of the word and brought the word and the sacraments back to their proper place. And, you know, and this wasn't revolutionary. If you go back and you look at in the first few centuries, images of Christ were not part of our worship.
Right.
In fact, if you read Eusebius of Caesarea, you know, one of the first, really the first church historian of the Christian church, he records how there was controversy in the early church when some churches were found to have pictures of Jesus on their curtains or these woven pictures of him, and how pastors said, you got to take those things down. It became a norm in the Middle Ages. You know, if you go to a really old church, I mean old by in the first few centuries, like if you go to the Church of Ambrose in Milan, you'll notice that the walls and the paintings in there are very plain. And then if you go over to the cathedral, which was built in the Middle Ages or in the Counter-Reformation, it's ornate, it's ostentatious, it's filled with all kinds of images and pictures. This, in other words, was something that was developed over time, these pictures of Jesus. The Reformation called us to go back to word and sacraments. Now we're going in the opposite direction once again, and it's time for us again to be reformed according to Scripture.
Right. And I think, you know, just in terms of a witness, it's just interesting to me that this is one of the great complaints of Islam against Christianity is our idolatry and creation of images. That may shock us, but that is something that has been said throughout history, that they considered us as idolaters because of all the imagery. And, you know, I guess that just brings us back to Mike, the statement in Romans 8, and we'll close with this. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to the website at agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805. We know this was a challenging subject today, but we hope that it helps you. We want to sincerely, if you love Jesus, you will obey his commandments. And the second commandment is in there. So we hope that you'll appreciate this program and grow more in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next time, may this gospel, thanks Mike Brown for being with us, by the way. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.